And may God bless that message to all of our hearts for His namesake. We thank our sister for coming and bringing it to us. Now we're turning in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew again. And with our Bibles open before us, can we light together at the throne of grace in prayer and seek the face of the Lord for His blessing. Our gracious God, and our loving Father, we thank Thee for the message in song already. We bless Thee for the vision that we have had of our Saviour suffering there alone. And we thank Thee that it was in our room instead that He hung upon Calvary's cross. And our God, is our prayer tonight that men and women might see Thee, may be drawn to Thee, and may find a Saviour in Thee. Bless Thy word and speak to us every one. O God, that at the end of our meeting we might be shut in with Thee, and Lord, the issues of eternity may be very real and very powerfully known. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. I want to take a very well-known gospel text tonight. It's found in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 27. Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" In the early hours of the morning, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor and representative of Tiberius Caesar, was awakened out of his sleep in the middle of the night because of the disturbance that had taken place in the city. It was the type of news he had been dreading. He was very much afraid of, because the Jews from all over the empire had come to their Passover feast, and if there was an ever time when there was a danger of disturbance amongst the Jews who were prone to rebellion, this was it. And Pilate was charged with the keeping of law and order in the region of Judea. He proved himself to be very adept at that. And there was a time when he mingled the blood of some Galileans with the sacrifice. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 13. We also know from history that the incident known as the Aqueduct Riots, when Pilate sent the Roman soldiers amongst the Jews with clubs and was responsible for the death of many of them. So Pilate was a rough, tough individual. Indeed, he was hated among the Jews. And so Pilate comes down now and he sees the chief priests and he sees that they have a prisoner there who seems to be the very center of the riot and the disturbance. And he comes down to the courtyard of the Antonia Fortress. And there he spies, for the first time, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt he had heard rumors about this Jesus of Nazareth. There was a spy network at that time, and would have known all that was taking place in the region around. Would have heard about the healings of the blind. He would have heard about the lame that were made to walk. He would have heard about those that were raised from the dead. And I have no doubt that Pilate wanted to meet this Jesus of Nazareth. Now he sees the Savior. He had known him by reputation. But now, for the first time, he is brought into the very presence of the Son of God. And the eyes of Pontius Pilate, for the first time, come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus begun the most crucial hours in the life of this Roman governor. He was a military tactician. He was an expert politician. I'm sure there were many times in his life when he had made crucial decisions before. But the decision that now faces him is the most crucial decision that he ever makes in his life. Indeed, he utters the question that he faces in his own words here in the text.
steps that we have taken. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And that, men and women, is a question that faces every one of us. I believe that in the life of every individual, there comes a time, whether it be strong or weak, when they're brought face to face with what they will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a day when the choice has to be made. There's a day when the Lord Jesus, as it were, is in front of you. And you've got to say what you will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this gospel meeting, more than anywhere else, you are brought face to face with that question. Men and women, tonight, as you go from this place, you are going to have to make your choice. Just as Pilate that day had to make his choice, so you are going to have to make the choice as to what you will do with the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Oh, you know about Christ. You have heard about Christ. You know the gospel, but he is not your Savior. He is not your friend. He is not one who has come into your heart and taken your sins away. He has never saved your soul. But if that is you tonight, I want you to face up to the question, what you will do with Jesus, which is called Christ. There are a number of things about Pilate here as we see him face the question about what he will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to see about Pilate here as he faces this most crucial question is the privilege he had. What a wonderful privilege it was for him to have the Son of God right there in front of him. What a wonderful privilege to be in the very presence of the Son of God, to see his face, to behold his kindness, to hear his words. Oh, there was never a privilege like this. What an unspeakable privilege to be in the presence of the mighty Savior. You know what a special thing? You also tonight are in the presence of the same Savior. For he has said that where two or three are met together in his name, there he is in the midst. Oh, there may be times when you have sat in meetings that are cold and formal, and there's no sense of the presence of the Lord there. But I hope that as you have sat in this meeting, that you have detected, that you have known, the Lord is here. And he wants to know what you're going to do with him. And I want you to see Pilate's privilege here. Notice that it was a unique privilege. You see, nothing had ever happened like this to Pilate before. He had never met the Lord Jesus Christ. He had never been face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And just a few hours from this, the Lord Jesus is going to be led out through the Damascus gate. He's going to be nailed to that old rugged cross, and he's going to die and be buried in Joseph's new tomb. And after 3 days, he will rise again from the dead. And after a short time, he will sit at his Father's right hand, where he is to this very hour. Pilate had never had an opportunity like this. And listen to me, men and women, he will never have it again. He will never have it again. This was a short opportunity. This was a short space of time. God came very near that day. But it was the only time in Pilate's life when God came near. And I wonder tonight, as you sit in this meeting, is this a fleeting opportunity? Oh, God has been dealing with you and speaking to you, and down through the last number of months and weeks, God has been dealing with your heart. But my dear friend, how long will that last? I don't know. And neither do you. This was a unique, fleeting opportunity for Pilate, the Roman governor. And it may be that even this evening, your last opportunity is passing away. Your last chance, as it were, is passing you need to get right with God. This was a unique opportunity, a unique privilege. But something else, it was an unexpected privilege. It would seem, if you look at the text here, that Pilate was awakened out of his sleep in the middle of the night. And he received the news that Jesus was there. And when the Holy Spirit comes and presents the Lord Jesus Christ and awakens men, he comes to awaken them out of sleep. Maybe God has been speaking to your heart today. There are those that are sleeping the sleep of death.
You know, you need God to awaken you. This man was awakened because the Lord Jesus Christ was there. Maybe the devil has lulled you into a sense of false security. You need to be awakened. You need to be awakened. This was an unexpected opportunity. But it was also an unparalleled opportunity. For he stood in the presence of the Son of God. He would hear words from the Son of God himself. This was an unparalleled opportunity. And it was unparalleled because of the dignity of the person before whom he stood. And let me be very clear this evening that what we want to present you with this evening is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one before whom you stand. The Lord of glory. I don't care what you think of the Free Presbyterian Church. I don't care what you think of the Reverend Gordon Dean. I don't care what you think about other Christians. What you are faced with tonight is not what this church or any other church or any evangelical Christian or what they do or what they don't do. What you're faced with tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus? You might have thoughts about the church. You might have thoughts about our doctrine. But what will you do with Jesus? And not only was it an unparalleled opportunity because of the dignity of the person before whom he stood, but because of the destiny that was being settled. Because Pilate didn't realize, but he was settling his eternal destiny that night. It was, as it were, heaven or hell. The old Roman governor stood, as it were, at the crossroads of his life. He stood at the place where two roads met. Was it this way or that way? And his eternal destiny was being settled. Could it be the same with you? But look at how this man made use of his privilege. I want you to compare the Gospels, and as we look at what this man did with the opportunity was given, we see a number of things. We see, first of all, that he was careless. He said here, first of all, when the Jews came to with the Lord Jesus to Pilate, he said, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." He says, really what he was saying is, "Oh, I don't care. Just you judge him. Just take him away. This is a matter of your law. This has nothing to do with me. This is nothing of my concern." Oh, there are a lot of people like that when they're faced with the Lord Jesus Christ, meet it with indifference. This has nothing to do with me. I wonder if you're in this meeting and that's your attitude. You say it's nothing to do with me. So or in a gospel meeting, you look in the faces of people, you can see the indifference. Careless. But careless about what? Your soul. The most precious thing you have. Your soul's eternal welfare. So Pilate thought he would be careless. But you know he couldn't be careless. Because the Lord Jesus and the question that faced him as to what he would do with Christ wouldn't go away. And he tried to shake them off and say, "Go away and you judge him." But they wouldn't take him away. And they wouldn't take the Lord Jesus. And here was Pilate now, and there was a carelessness about him. He wasn't bothered about the Lord Jesus. But then they come back with him And we find that Pilate is not indifferent now. He is concerned now. As he looks at the Lord Jesus, and he begins to perceive that there's something about him, he becomes concerned. If only I could show you who this Lord Jesus is, you couldn't be careless. And Pilate said, well, this is what I'll do. He said, I'll send him away. Let somebody else decide. So he decided that he would send the Lord Jesus down to Herod. Herod was there in the city of Jerusalem at the time. Herod was over Galilee, and the Lord Jesus was a Galilean. So Pilate thought, well, I'll palm it off onto Herod. But Herod will make no decision. Now the Herod comes and takes the Lord Jesus and derides him and despises him and beats him, but then sends him back. Sends him back. And Pilate is not careless now, he's uncomfortable now. The Lord Jesus has come back. And then he goes a little bit further. He says, well, this is what I'll do. I'll make the crowd decide. If Herod, if the people, if the Jews won't decide, the Jewish Sanhedrin won't decide, and Herod won't decide, I'll get the crowd to decide. And so he gets a notable prisoner by the name of Barabbas. And he puts him up, and he knows that this is a blasphemous man. And he thinks to himself, well, the crowd will see of the Lord Jesus. He says that this time of the year, we release one prisoner. Who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus? And the crowd cry out, we want Barabbas. And then, in the midst of his turmoil, Pilate utters the question, what shall I do then with Jesus? And you see, Pilate is getting the message. He can't escape this question. This is an important question. This is an individual question. But dear friend, it's an inescapable question. That question will come back and back and back and back to you. You cannot escape that question as to what you will do with the Lord Jesus Christ. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? We notice here the privilege that Pilate had. But then secondly, I want you to notice the pressures he faced. Because as Pilate faces his dilemma, as he faces the question that he has to answer, there are a number of factors that begin to weigh in his mind and on his decision. There are a number of factors that were pushing him towards deciding for the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, there was the desire of his own heart. He wanted to release Jesus. He wanted to decide for the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to do what was right. When Peter was preaching to the people in the book of Acts, he said, ye desired a murder to be granted unto you, and you crucified the Prince of Life, when Pilate was determined to release him. Pilate was determined to release him. Pilate knew what he must do. Pilate knew what he had to do. And he wanted to do it. And perhaps there's someone here in this position. You know what you need to do as far as salvation is concerned. You know what you must do. And in some ways you want to do it. You'd love to be saved. You'd love to be able to go away from this place with peace in your heart and peace of conscience. And there was the desire of Pilate's own heart. And then there was the influence of a divine warning. Because God warned him. Sometimes God brings circumstances into the lives of men and women just to warn them. And Pilate got a very singular warning. Because we read that his wife had a dream. And if you look at verse 19, it says, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And here was the divine warning. She says, and this is such a singular dream, that this pagan wife says, Pilate, don't have anything to do. Don't do anything. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and God, as it were, sends the warning. Now, God had all this ordained, and God had it all planned, but God sends the warning. Has God been warning you? Has God been showing you with clarity the path that you are taking? Has there been a long life's pathway, the little incidents that show you that life is short? That show you that you're not going to live on this scene of time forever? Maybe you've passed along the valley of illness. Maybe the very death shadow stared you in the face. Maybe you came into the presence of a loved one who passed beyond the veil of death. And you looked on the form of that loved one. And God was whispering in your heart. And you knew that God was warning you. You stood at the graveside, and as you looked at that form, the casket in the grave, you knew, and that was a warning to you, that you too must pass that way. God has been warning you. There is the divine warning. And we see here that God gave Pilate this warning. And there was the desire of his heart, and there was a divine warning. And then there was another thing that was pushing Pilate towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was his duty before the law. Because Pilate knew that the Lord Jesus was innocent. You see what he says in the portion of Scripture there. He says, I find no fault in this just man. I find no fault. He knew he was innocent. Here was the judge. And he declared the prisoner innocent. What does the judge need to do when he declares the prisoner innocent? Let him free. Let him free. Pilate knew that was his duty according to the law. So here were all these pressures being applied to his heart. And he knew what he needed to do. So do you. You know what you need to do. But then there were the pressures on the other side. And I want you to see the pressures that Pilate faced here. He was caught on the horns of a dilemma here. And there was the pressure of unpopularity. See, the people were really saying to him, if you set the Lord Jesus free, you are not Caesar's friend. He said to him, you are not Caesar's friend. And Pilate was a prominent Roman official. They were really threatening him. They were saying, you're going to be treated as a rebel against the king if you don't do that. And if you come to put your seal of approval upon the release of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be unpopular. And the crowd was there, and they were baying for the blood of the Lord Jesus. They were saying, crucify him! And he was being pushed by the crowd. There are a whole lot of people, and they're being pushed by the crowd. And the crowd is more influence than that which is right. The friends, the loved ones, your friends will laugh you into hell, but dear friend, they'll never laugh you out of it. They're saying, you're unpopular. You'll be unwanted. You'll not be Caesar's friend. Pilate, you'll be unsuccessful. You'll not have a career if you come down on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many who would say, if I got saved, there are many things that I do in my business life, I couldn't do them. Many things I'm involved in, and I couldn't be involved in them. And there's many, a man who walks up and down the boardroom with a stricken conscience, and they are in desperation, for they know that they cannot continue that way if they get saved. And here is Pilate, it is a dilemma. What shall I do then with Jesus? I wonder if you're in the same dilemma. As you are weighing it up this evening, the same pressures are upon you. Dear friend, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? For you must make the choice tonight. For Christ or against Him. You say, I'm not going to make a decision. Well, that will be a decision. For you'll walk out of this meeting without the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? We see the privilege He had, and the pressures He faced. But listen, dear friends, look at the path He took. Because we read that He took water, and He washed His hands, and He said, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. But then He said this, see ye to it. He gave them over into their hands. He said, I'm giving them to you. You say, oh, but Pilate didn't decide against Christ. He washed his hands. But the Bible says, he that is not for me is against me. And you might try to get round the decision. You might try to postpone the decision. You might try to get away from the decision. But decide you must. He that is not for me is against me. Dear friend, what are you going to do tonight? Make the choice right now. You need to make it right now. You know, on October the 8th, 1871, the American evangelist D.L. Moody was preaching some meetings in Chicago. And in the meeting on October the 8th, 1871, he was preaching on this text of Scripture. And he was facing the people with the question, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And he said to the people, I'm going to send you home. You can think about it for a week. And then I want to know what your choice is. And he turned to Ira Sankey, his song leader. And he said to him, sing, sing today, the Savior calls. Sankey opened the hymn book and began to sing, sing today, the Savior calls. But Sankey only got to the third verse of the hymn because they heard the clanging of the fire bells and they heard the commotion outside and the great fire of Chicago was coming closer to the great hall where the meeting was taking place. And they had to dismiss the meeting and send the people out into the night. And those people to whom D.L. Moody had said, I'll give you a week to decide. Many of them never got a week, for they perished in the great fire of Chicago. Your decision must be made now. Make it as if it's your last decision. Make it as if this is your last opportunity. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What's the sequel to the story of the Pilate? The Bible doesn't tell us, but history does. Pilate rejected the Lord Jesus because he wanted to be Caesar's friend. He ended up being Caesar's enemy anyway. And Caesar banished Pilate to Switzerland. And we are told in history that he died a suicide's death by the banks of Lake Geneva in Switzerland. And it is said through the caverns of the damned, there is a man that goes washing his hands in the flame, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. But he's not innocent, and it's too late. Don't leave it until it's too late. But you get right with God right now. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, We thank Thee for Thy precious Word. Dear God, this is a most solemn question. We realize that men and women need to face the question, and they need to get right with God. O God, we'd ask Thee that the right choice will be made, that men and women might come and seek the Savior and call upon His name. O Lord, give saving grace tonight, that men and women might look to Thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name, I would ask these things.